The sad reality is that the odds are a bit against us when it comes to sending sales emails. The average person right now is sending and receiving 121 emails each and every day, but that's the average person. When we get into C-level decision makers, we can realistically expect those numbers to go well north of 200 to 300 emails a day. Now, when you have even the bare minimum that we mentioned, right, 121 emails a day that you're sending and receiving, what do you do to make that process a little bit quicker? Well, all of us, we scan the emails, right, and we just kind of go through them very, very quickly, and that brings us probably to the saddest number yet. Less than 23% of sales emails are even opened. Think about that. Less than 23% of the emails that you're sending to someone, you haven't done business with them, you haven't met with them, kind of like a cold email, less than 23% of those are even open. So let's talk about how we can, instead of getting sad about this, right, let's talk about how we can dramatically improve our emails. So there are basically three things that we're going to talk about today. And I would say that they represent the first lines of defense. I mean, these are all equal, and you have to look at it that way. So the first lines of defense that we have going for us here is that, number one, we have the subject line. And we also, in fact, let me just give you the overview. We have the subject line, we have the preview text, and we have the opening statement. And consider these three things kind of joined at the hip, if you will, right? They all have to march into battle together. So let's break it down. The subject line. The average person makes a huge mistake. In fact, the average sales rep makes this huge mistakes. And I would say that 99% of the sales emails that are sent are sender-centered instead of recipient-centered. So let me say that again, and then I'll do some splaining for you. 99% of the emails, the sales emails that are sent, are sender-centered instead of recipient-centered. So what happens is in the subject line, and it's a big mistake that a lot of sales reps make, is they make it all about their company. And they make it all about their widget. Even the results that their widget can get, it's really, at that point in time, it's really a bad time for it. Because if somebody's scanning something, I really want you to think about something. What's going to be more appealing to you as a recipient? Something about someone else's world and their company and their widget and all the great things about them. Or something that's about you. If you're making a split second decision as to whether or not you're going to read something, and it's one of at least, you know, 100+ emails that you're going to be involved in, maybe even 200 or 300+ that day, what's going to be more appealing to you? Something about the sender or something about you? So instead of mentioning your company and your product and the results of using your product, you ready for this? Rocket science here. Mention something going on in the recipient's world. And this is where you want to be in your research. And I'm hoping that you understand that you don't just fire off an email. You should be researching and doing some real quick research on the person and the company, competitors, their world, so that you're going to send them something much more meaningful. And you don't have to resort to talking about you at that point in time. So what we're talking about here is looking for trigger events. A trigger event is something that's going on in the recipient's world. It could be something in their company. It could be something in their industry. It could be something in their local area. And it could be anything from, I mean, there's over 30 different trigger events that we usually talk about in the webinars that I host. But some of them, it could be if they're hiring. It could be somebody new to a position. It could be a company with a product launch. It could be a company expanding into a new market or a different, perhaps they're expanding their locations that they have, right? It could be also things that are going on with legislation. It could be the availability of the raw materials involved in the production of their products. That could be something that they could be very interested in. Certainly things that are going on with their competitors. And, you know, just like as a little side note, if you're able to jot this down, I want you to remember when you're going after C-level people, they're highly competitive. And that's how they got to be in that position, by being very, very competitive. So if you have some information or you have something that speaks to some things that are going on in their industry with their competitors, they're all about keeping up with the Joneses. They're all about, like, not having that FOMO thing going on, right? That fear of missing out. Those are some forms of triggers. And there's a lot more, but trigger events are very, very important to us in sales, and it helps make things very, very relevant. So what you want to do with the subject line is make it about something that you've discovered in your research. So let's take one of those trigger events, and we're going to use that as the example throughout each one of these three areas that we're going to talk about today. So let's just say that you, in your research, you found a company that has a new product launch that's going to be happening in February 2018. So what you can do now in the subject line is, again, you could tweak this, but you'll get the gist of it. You could simply put your X1000 product launch. You see, that's a lot better than me putting something in the subject line that says, like, Castang Training Systems. And that might sound like a really crazy example I just gave you, but so many times when I have discussions over on LinkedIn and on my Facebook group and with groups of people that I speak with, and I go and I train them and I ask them, hey, tell me some of the subject lines you use. So many people tell me that they're using the name of their company. And I want you to realize, why would somebody give a shit about your company, especially at that point in that first second or two of assessing whether or not they're going to read on? That's how you lose people. And quite frankly, that's probably how you're losing a lot of people now. But whether you're doing that or not, I want you to change it to something about them. So in this context, we're going to be referencing their X1000 product line. So that's the very first thing. Your subject line is one of the first lines of defense. The next thing that you want to do is you want to give consideration to the preview text. And you know what? I received a really nice message from someone, and if she's listening, definite shout out to Jaxie West. And over on Twitter, she had said, hey, I just, and I'm paraphrasing, so forgive me, Jaxie, if I'm not quoting you properly, but Jaxie was saying how much she enjoyed a recent post that I did on this very subject of preview text over on yoursalesplaybook.com. That's where I blog, by the way. So if you only know me on the Sales Playbook podcast, I would really invite you to come on over and hang out with me over on yoursalesplaybook.com. I do. In fact, we have over 2,700 blog posts over there. And Jaxie was saying how refreshing it was to see somebody who was actually writing about preview text, because nobody ever talks about it. Everybody talks about the subject line. So let's kind of go there. The preview text is that little bit of text that shows up right underneath the sender's name. And it could be anywhere, by the way. It really depends on a lot of different factors. The amount that shows up could be anywhere from 35 characters to about 140 characters. And it's really going to depend on how people are viewing it, whether it's a mobile device or it's their laptop. It depends a lot on what email program that they're using. But people are scanning emails. So I want you to think about this. If people are scanning emails and you have that preview text, your job now is to entice them inside of the preview text. And one of the ways that you can entice them, and it's really going to tie into the very next thing, is making sure that your opening statement, right, that that first sentence or two, but mostly the first sentence, really entices them and it gets their attention and it makes them hungry. In fact, many times you'll hear me refer to it as, you've got to use a potato chip. A potato chip makes you hungry for more. It doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't feed you. It just kind of just enhances the appetite that's already there. So let's go on to the final part, because it really plays in to how the preview text is going to play out for you. So the final part of this is the opening statement that you use. And it's very similar, the mistake that people are making, just very, very similar to the subject line. And in that, 99% of opening statements, again, are sender-centered instead of recipient-centered. And let me give you an example of that. Many times, we'll see an email that begins something like this. And again, I'm going to give you a bad example, but you're going to get the gist of it. So right after I introduce, or right after I say hi to you, so it might be something like, hey Mary, Castain Training Systems is a full service blah, 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 blah. I'm saying blah, 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 because by then I've lost you. And even worse yet, you probably didn't even open the email, because that little bit that I told you about, right up to and including the blah, 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 right? Or maybe the blah, 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 whatever it was that I said, it's going to be in the preview text. And if it doesn't get them in the preview text, why would they even open the damn email? Especially when they are faced with so many of these emails, they're making a split-second decision. So what you want to do in the opening statement is very similar, pretty much identical to what you've done in the subject line. You want to reverse the whole thing. Instead of making it about you, you ready for this? Make it about them. Make it all about them. And the phrase, in fact, I think I just mentioned this last week to you guys, and certainly over on my blog, but I want to say it again. In fact, I've mentioned it several times this year, and it won't be the last. Might be the last time this year, but I promise you next year you'll hear a lot about it too. But there's a phrase that I encourage you to use. And start off your email, and you could even start off your opening statement when you cold call somebody, with, start it off with, I noticed that. And you're going to fill in the blank and tell them what you noticed in your research. So again, the phrase that you're going to use is a fill in the blank phrase. I noticed that. So let's go back to this X1000 product launch. You're going to start off immediately with, I noticed that your X1000 product is going to be launching in February. There's a big difference and a dramatic improvement between you saying that and you starting off with Castain Training Systems is a blah, 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 right? A huge night and day difference. And I will tell you, just by making those three just small changes that I mentioned, the subject line, the preview text, and the opening statement, you're going to stand apart from almost 100% of your competitors, because I want you to think about how you've been going about it. Probably your subject line has been about you and your company, even the results that you get, that's still about you in a way. And your opening statement has, again, been about you and your company and your world. And because your opening statement is that way, the preview text is showing up that way. And there's no reason to even open the damn email to begin with. So nobody is even hearing you out, because you lost them pretty much at hello, within about 140 characters of hello. So just by making those changes, you can get some much, much better results. The only other thing that I would say for now, because there's a lot more to this, is that make sure any communication efforts that you're making, I don't care if it's email or the phone or something over on LinkedIn, even like things that you do with traditional networking, snail mail, whatever it is that you're doing, your communication messaging has to pass the kitchen table test. And the kitchen table test is very, very simple. If you wouldn't say it to someone at the kitchen table, having a coffee, having a beer, having, you know, like some lunch together, breaking bread, don't you dare say it in business communication. Because the problem with a lot of our messaging is that it reeks of marketing speak. And this is no disrespect to the marketing folks, because salespeople are creating these things too. It's not like marketing is like force feeding us this, but you know, we're quite guilty of this ourselves. But here's the deal with marketing speak. And what I mean by marketing speak, let me just go a little bit further. When you start saying that we're a full service, we offer a one source, end to end, you know, all that kind of shit. I mean, like, first of all, I mean, my bad running joke that I've had on this podcast is, somebody please help me understand what full service means, because I don't know to this day. I just know that we beat the shit out of that phrase. I also know that we love to say a lot of different things in sales that also I don't really think we know what it means, like providing value. What does that mean? Because I really don't know. I know it sounds cute. I know that if I say it, a lot of people are going to be nodding their heads in the audience. But I mean, like, what does it mean? So a lot of these things have become quite cliched. So I just need to tell you that if we were sitting down at my kitchen table, I wouldn't say shit like end-to-end and full service or whatever it is. I would have a visit with you instead of offering you a sales pitch. And maybe that's a big part of where we're losing it with our communication in sales, is that we're not having a visit, we're offering a pitch. We're making the conversation me-centered, my products, my solutions, my company, instead of your world. And one thing I've learned about communication, and you've heard it a million times, is that everyone's favorite subject is in fact them, not you, not your company. It doesn't mean that we can't talk about those things eventually. It just means that when we're dealing with somebody that's sending and receiving anywhere from 121 emails a day to north of 200 to 300 a day, they're going to make a real quick decision. And if we're going to get their interest very quickly so they hear us out and we buy a few more seconds or a few more sentences, I think we need to make it about them. That's my story, folks, and I'm sticking to it. Now, there's a lot more to this. In fact, there's several more steps that I'm going to be sharing this Wednesday. Or I'm sorry, actually, it's going to be this Thursday, December 21st at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be a webinar that we call 20 Sales Emails That Get Opened, Read, and Responded To. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to be sharing a four-step messaging framework that is just so easy to learn, so easy to remember. Every time I teach this, I have several of the participants that, you know, are commenting live on the webinar and even sending me emails afterwards and saying, oh my God, this is just so damn simple and I've been missing the mark. And I want to tell you guys something. For years, I mean, I've been in sales now for 34 years. I would say probably 29 of the 34 years that I've been in sales, I was going about my messaging the opposite way. Like a lot of the things that I was talking about here, where it was like more me-centered instead of the recipient, making it about them. And I've noticed just in my own efforts that it's a dramatic improvement, and for my clients too. So we're going to start the webinar off by sharing this four-step messaging framework that I have. Then we're going to discuss 20 of my best sales emails, and then I'm going to send you guys on your way with a file that I have with 20 of my best sales email templates. I've got them set up as like Word docs. This way you can tweak it easily. You can change it to fit your selling style and your personality and your voice or whatever. But here's the deal. If you want to learn more about it, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. And time is really of the essence, folks. I mean, right now I'm recording this on December 17th. We're not even, 4 days away from doing this. So if this is something that interests you, I want you to sign up for it. Final thing that I want to say, one thing I want you guys to realize about all of my webinars, and especially this one, because it's so close to Christmas, What I always do is deliver them live. And then later that day, I mean, like an hour after we finish the webinar, I send out the webinar replay. I send it out for two different reasons. Number one, we have some people that are not going to be able to make it that day. They're going to be off at Aunt Sadie's that day for, you know, for the Christmas holidays, or maybe, you know, they're taking a break, or they're trying to finish up those few last minute deals, whatever the deal is. So they're going to want to check it out at their convenience. In fact, we have several people that are going to be viewing this whole webinar after the holidays, or maybe during some of the slow time between Christmas and New Year's. It'll be waiting for you. But we also have some people who are able to attend live, and they want to go back for seconds. They want to go back and re-listen to it and, you know, reabsorb everything that's there. So we've got you covered either way. So if you want to join us, now would be an awesome time. Don't procrastinate. You know how it is. You have great intentions, and then a million other last-minute holiday things are going to pop up. Like, you're going to forget, oh, shit, I forgot to, like, buy my boss a present, right? And now you're going to be thinking about that instead of signing up for something that's going to help you in the new year and help bring your selling efforts up a notch or, like, three. So if you're interested, I want you to visit YourSalesPlaybook.com/rockyouremail. YourSalesPlaybook.com/rockyouremail. With that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.YourSalesPlaybook.com.